Before we get to the good, we need to go through the bad. We celebrated Passion Week and start with Palm Sunday last Sunday, the triumphal entry, and then we see throughout the week Christ is teaching and Christ is confronting. And then at the Last Supper, it's a big letdown because for 3 years he had ministered, he'd gotten close to the disciples, they'd gone in, he's popular, all these kind of things, and he says, I'm going to die and one of you is going to betray me. And as the night went on, we can see the pressure upon Christ increase. And we see when we get to the garden, it's almost unbearable. You're like, it's Easter Sunday. He's risen. Why are you going back to the garden? Because we ignore the Garden of Gethsemane, and we ignore that's where the battle was. And we're asking the question, why is Christ here? Why did he come? And so, Passion Week, Lord's Supper, everybody's down, confused, not understanding, and so they begin to walk. Christ tells all this stuff. He promises before he goes on this that he'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He promises that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I give you my peace. And Christ says it's time to go. And we're going to be in Luke 22 and look at that account. But I'm also going to fill in some areas with Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and John 18. All these are the accounts that were going on that I'm mainly focusing on Luke 22:39. For those of you that are, I'd be really curious if you've heard of Dawson McAllister, but back when I did youth ministry, he did a lot of youth conferences, and he has a wonderful study, A Walk with Christ to the Cross, and I'm going to use some of that from that because it's still very phenomenal when he talks about the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22:39, he went out and made his way, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Let's talk about the place, the Garden of Gethsemane, which means oil press, and it was on the Mount of Olives. And it was at the Brook of Kindron, and there was a garden. And it may have been owned by a follower of Christ, and it was a large plot with groves of olive trees, and you either have a love-hate relationship with olives, but I like olives.
Amen.
And some, and man, some of those places have all those different kind, and so... So and lobby using olive oil, you know, it's healthy, all that kind of stuff. But it was a source for a lot of things. So imagine a large, I don't know what an olive tree looks like. Maybe we'll get there someday and see some of those. It surprised me when we were in California. Maybe they probably were there and didn't see any. But they go to the garden, owned by a friend, large amount of olive trees, surrounded by a stone wall. He made his way as usual. This was his place to get away from the crowd, get along with God. Christ often visited the garden. He's seeking quiet and he's seeking privacy, and it provided it. In the other Gospels, Christ, we see the garden, and we see that he left the eight in one section of the garden, and then he takes the three, Peter, James, and John, and goes further in and gives them instructions. Christ took his three closest followers, not because you're better than the rest of them, because they all were mess ups. And if you look at Peter, my goodness, foot and mouth disease. Okay? But he also wanted his people to witness what he was going to go through so that we could read this today and know why Christ was here. You get to verse 40 of Luke 22. When you reach the place, he told them, pray that you may not fall into temptation. You wonder what would have happened if they truly had understood what Christ had told them to do. Pray so you won't fall into temptation. Matthew 26:38, he said to them, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me. Now, they had a long week, and they had been rock stars, and this is before Red Bull. Okay? And coffee, I don't think that was happening yet. Okay? And I just figured out, side note, what liquid death is, and it's not what you think it is, but we'll get back to that later if you want to know. But, so if you see me drinking one, it's just to mess you up. But, he said he was deeply grieved. That word is translated amazed. He was filled with utter astonishment. He was amazed, so he was so amazed, it's almost like his hair stood on end and his skin felt like it was crawling. Christ was overwhelmed with sorrow, that his emotions, that he couldn't take anymore. The idea of dying on the cross for our sins, and on him was placed all of our punishment, was nearly already killing. See, crucifixion alone is a horrible thing, but we need to go through the facts of this. Christ had never been separated from the Father. He was going to be separated. Christ had never known sin. He was tempted in all ways. He could have sinned, but he didn't. I wouldn't take your punishment on a good day. You probably wouldn't take my punishment. But he's taking the punishment of all of us, and we're not that grateful about it. Love what he did, and what was this place? Why was this so hard? Why was he here? Why is this point in time so important? Go back to the turn of Gethsemane, the oil press. Something like coffee press or different press or garlic press. And thank you, people that made me brave that you didn't put garlic in there. The person that did that is not here today, but they know who they are. Okay, so you know, somebody about to rim my biscuits and gravy by even mentioning that. But anyways, so think about it. God does all things well. Jesus is in the garden. It's Gethsemane. It's the oil press, and he's being pressed. Because what do you do when you press the olives to make the oil? Pour that out. Broken. And spilt out for us. The oil press was the place where Christ was pressed. He was crushed. He was broken. He was poured out in the oil of atonement for us. You don't think that's accident? The garden was the place that Christ could make his final decision about going to Christ. How do you do that? Look at verse 41 of Luke 22. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away and knelt down and began to pray. He got along with God. He talked to God as he had always done. And what did he say? Luke 22:42. And the other gospels account for this. He did this three times, and which is a biblical number of completion. Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. This week, I challenge you to go to Matthew chapter 6 and look at verses 19 and 13, the Lord's Prayer, how he taught us to pray. And I'm always learning something from Scripture. Do you realize this is a condensed version of the Lord's Prayer? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Christ questioned. Christ sought God's will. He asked if there's another way. He, like I said, the other Gospels, Luke does it, but the other Gospels, he did this three times. And he resigned himself that regardless of the answer, your will be done. What does this show us about Christ? He was really human. He naturally struggled. He was not a puppet. He could say no. He had never sinned. He was innocent. And didn't have to do this. This shows the uniqueness of Christ, that he is fully God and he is fully man. He is not just another guy that said really nice stuff that only people listen to half of it. My goodness, people, I only read the stuff in red because Jesus said, well, that's a good place to start. But you know what the problem is? You read those parables, and we love the Good Samaritan and all that stuff, and they all end with, if you don't choose Christ, you go to hell. So he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he told the truth. And if he didn't need to die for us, why are we here? Oh, I like Jesus. I like what he says. Well, then listen to all that he says. Who cares what I'm saying? Read it. And make a decision. I'm not mad at anybody here. We need to wake up. And we already have the coffee, but we need to smell. What does this show us about Christ? We said this. It shows his uniqueness. He is not just a man. Where is he at? Okay, in his body. Well, tell me where it's at. Confucius, Muhammad, all these, you can find where they're buried. Where is Christ? He's risen.
Amen.
The question is there another way for man to be saved other than his dying the cross? His whole being cringed, Jesus, at dying on the cross. Not just the physical death, but the spiritual death of sin when he had known no sin and the separation from God. His whole being cringed at not doing the Father's will. Crucifixion in itself is horrific and lasts a long time, and it's suffocation. No. And it's horrible. And the fact that they didn't put the spikes through here because it would rip. We're old enough, we need to be honest with kids. I'm not trying to be mean, but you have your bones crossed here, and this is where they put it so it stick. And then he was on there, and he was on a cross, whether it was a T-shape or not. And you go back to the Old Testament, the fact that the Passover, he was the final Passover lamb, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so the cross formed a T or a cross, and he was put on it, and there was not a little seat. There was a spike, and every time he went to lift up to breathe, he would sit down and get it in the back. After he'd been beaten, after he'd been tortured. That's just the physical, but that wasn't as worse as never being separated from his Father and never knowing sin and taking our junk on himself. His response in verse 42, he said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I said he cringed at the cross, he cringed at the sin, but he cringed at not following God. I am not perfect at all, and I mess up a lot. But I hope till I die or meet Jesus that in the end, whether it takes me three times or not, I'm going with Jesus. There's no hope in anything else. Your first feeling, he's not even the first one. Embracing the what, the why means embracing the will of the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. Before we can get to the good, like I guess I went to the wrong one, so we're in the garden. It flipped all the way back. Maybe it recopied. I don't know. Okay. That was a big swipe. Hold on a minute. Talk amongst yourselves while I get back to where I was. Okay, here we go. All right, stop. All right. The other Gospels, three times he prayed, three times he's returned, three times he corrected them. Each time was more intense until his face was set on the cross and on the Gospel. And I want you to understand the intensity of this showed itself in the physical things that he was dealing with. In other words, he didn't just go there and it just easily did it. Guys, all these things he was considering. But let's look at this, verses 43 and 42 of Luke 22. Then the angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. So I want to understand God will strengthen us in these tough things that we have to do. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. Sometimes we don't understand this, but we need to realize I'm reading out of Luke, and Luke is a doctor. He focused on the physical things that are going on. And we see here, Luke may have been familiar with this, but he's sweating drops of blood. Now, he hasn't been tortured. He hasn't been beaten. I want you to understand the battle was here and the intensity was here. Never separated from the Father. Never knew sin. The physical agony, the spiritual agony. I wrote this out, so maybe I'll say it right. I even spaced it out. It's a medical term. You know how I am with the Bible terms. Hematidrosis. Under extreme stress, blood vessels expand so much that they break when they come in contact with the sweat glands. The suffering individual sweats drops of blood. If that's happened to you, you must have been under some real pressure, because I've been blessed to help people when they're in stressful situations. I haven't seen that. Luke is letting us know the intensity, the agony, the pain of this decision Christ was making. If your next film, if you're going to embrace the why of Christ, we need to embrace that it is a hard way to go. Luke 9:22, take up your cross daily and follow me. I am not making light of anything that's going on in your life. Jesus did it. He left us the Holy Spirit. He saved us. He sets the example. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know what we've been sold on Christianity, it's going to be easy, but in my experience, it gets harder. But Jesus said, stop. No one in all of his history struggled as Christ did in the garden. But Jesus reached his firm decision. He decided to endure the pain. He allowed himself to take our punishment upon himself. Christ was always determined to do God's will, but now his face was set on the cross. And so what can we learn from the garden? What does this tell us about Jesus and why he was here? We can learn that Christ was absolutely humiliated for us. That our sin, he was broken for us. That through Jesus, we can be saved and be a part of the family of God and be restored. Most importantly, we can see that the Father's will is more important than anything we can do. Your last fill-in, if you're going to embrace the why of Christ, we need to embrace that you and I are the why. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the question to the why of Christ changes to us on why is Christ here. Regardless of the why, we need to embrace Christ. And we need to begin today, and it starts in the garden. It's fulfilled at the cross, and it's finished today because he is risen. I straight out stole this. I'm going to read it. The guy is Adam Westlake, and it's from Worship Initiative, and it's their Good Friday album that came out. And if you can't find it, you need to figure it out, but I'm going to read this. This is the why. See, as they stripped the robe from off his back and spread his arms and held him to the cross, the dark nails pierced him and the sky turns black, and love is firmly fastened onto loss. The hearing of pure change happens. On the tree, loss becomes gain. Death opens into birth. Here, wounding heals and fastening makes free. Earth breathes in heaven. Heaven roots in hearth. And here we see the length, the breadth, the height. Where love and hatred meet and love stays true, where sin meets grace and darkness turns to light, we see what love can bear and be and do. And here our Savior calls us to his side. His love is free, his arms open wide. That's why he's here. There's going to be a slide up here. I think she got it for me. She took a picture. Don't you love it? Yeah. This is our relationship. We were designed with a love relationship with God, but in the garden it was broken. That's why we're in the state we're in. And now this is our brokenness. And you see all the squiggly lines? That's the way we try to get whole, and none of it works. But Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. And when we choose him, we begin that new life. This is why Christ is here. And if you don't know Christ in the moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. You can choose, but one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you can say you're not hurt. And if I'm wrong, it's not about me being wrong and right, but my life is better for it. And I've seen God work more than not. And you know what? I'm up there to know, not because I'm in ministry. I'm talking about walking with God, just like any other believer. He's real.
Yeah.
And you need to get it right today because he's risen. I think the rest of us are somewhere in between there, and we're in the dead stuff. And let's just be honest, Christian. Some of you just need to get your stuff together. Yeah, we're imperfect. But some of you are acting and living in dead things. And guess what? You smell of death. Me included sometimes. Cast your cares. Get short accounts. Do whatever you need to do. You're never going to be perfect. We're always broken. He gives us the power to do this. But are you speaking life? Or are you smelling of death? Because he talks to Christians in the last verses in 45 and 46. When he got up in prayer and he came to the disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from their grief. Why are you sleeping, he asked. Get up and pray so you won't fall asleep and into temptation. Today, this season reminds us that God loves us. It reminds us to wake up, to pray up, and to stay up. We're going to have a time of invitation in a minute. And the question is this, guys, the time is short. You need to get saved. The time is short, Christians. You don't need to be asleep. You need to be salt and light. And right now, they're not seeing anything. You may need to pray. You may need to get right. Whatever you need to do. He is risen. And you need to embrace the why of Christ, that he loved you enough to take our punishment on him. When you accept that, you are a child of God and you are empowered to live out the why. Because that should be a point when non-Christians ask you the question, why? Everybody's here for different reasons today. Who cares? But the why should be Christ. Because I love him and what he's done for me. So we stand on our feet and have a time of invitation. However you need to respond today, do so. Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts. I pray that we'll be obedient to you today. In your name, Jesus.